Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to the program. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com, with this edition of Solutions Watch here in July of 2026. And the topic for today's exploration has been suggested by a recent encounter I had with a Corbettier who is from Quebec. And this Quebecois is a recent university graduate, and she has had difficulty meeting people, certainly people her own age, who are like-minded. For example, unvaxxed, and proudly so, etc., because she comes from the art world where people are not so amenable to such things. And so she has the question that I get over and over and over in many different forms all the time, which is, how do I meet people who have these ideas? I don't know anyone in my area who shares my beliefs. It is a very, very common question, and that is precisely why it has been one key and recurring topic on Solutions Watch, going right back to the beginning of the program back in back in 2021. For example, you'll remember How to Meet Like-Minded People, where I talked about various ways that you can do precisely that. I returned to the topic over and over. For example, 2023, there was a conversation on building community. There was a Solutions Watch on meeting people is easy. In 2024, I even decided to approach it from the sarcastic opposite direction by putting out a Solutions Watch on, or a Problems Watch on, how not to build a community, which was, of course, a sarcastic take. And obviously, you can negate every piece of advice in there in order to find out how to build community. But as I say, this is an important topic because obviously a lot of people are affected by it. I don't know anyone. It's difficult meeting people. How do I find and connect with people in my area? That is the ongoing problem. And there will always be various solutions being proposed at different times, some of which will thrive, some of which will not. So let's keep exploring this topic. And today, I want to approach it from this perspective: community through commerce and conference. And what I'm getting at here is something that I had cause to remark on over and over and over in the Scamdemic era and afterwards, which is that the Scamdemic was a terrible event in a lot of ways, but it was good in at least one way, in that it was a visible and unavoidable marker for the people in your area who are like-minded and who are likely willing to connect and to discuss ideas with you, and people who are not. And the literal sign of that might have been the masked versus the unmasked. But at any rate, it was certainly a way for you to discover the, for example, the businesses in your area that are going to go along with whatever public health remit is happening at the time and will enforce vaccine mandates and or mask mandates, etc. And those businesses that were willing to stand up against that. And that is important because, again, it doesn't just represent a business that is selling a product. It represents the commerce which forms the heart of the agora, the public marketplace, the market square that was the public square back thousands of years ago in the Greek agora. But of course, we are here in the 21st century. And so we are looking to connect with people through commerce in order to find other like-minded people. And that is one way of going about it. And so I want to start exploring that idea specifically in the context of a website that was recently put on my radar. It is called localmarket.cc. And I believe that it represents an interesting and potentially exciting idea for connecting people to vendors, but also to connect them one to another. But rather than me explaining this site to you, I thought I would get on the founder of the site to explain it to you. His name is Daniel Andrews. Once again, the website is localmarket.cc. Daniel Andrews, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, man, it is really an honor to be here, James. I can't express that enough. And to be honest, you are a big influence in the philosophy that I have formed that kind of helped shape this idea in the first place.
Excellent. Well, that's very gratifying to hear, but let's hear a little bit more about yourself and your background. This is your first time on. People might not know about you. So let's talk about who you are and how and why you came to start localmarket.cc.
Yeah. Well, I'm a carpenter by trade, and I have a lot of hobbies, including beekeeping that I picked up around 10 years ago. And I sort of developed an entrepreneur mindset over the years. I started my own construction company and remodeling company. And over a process of years, I went through kind of a demystifying process of business and what we're capable of and what we can achieve. And I eventually had this app idea, a website. And once I had it, I just stuck to it. And I used another app for my remodeling business where I'd get clients and it would kind of keep you in your local area. And one day I just thought, you know, why don't we have this for farmers and artisans? You know, I personally love going to markets and little fairs where people set up their booth and they show you the products that they make. I love talking to those people. They're always passionate in what they do. But it always struck me that like a farmer's market, at least here in the States, it's once a week, it's 4 hours long. Why don't we have more access to these people? Why don't we have a tool that allows us to interact economically with these people more? And that's kind of where...
So I understand this is a work in progress. Obviously, this is not the fully built out site, but the idea is that it's going to be able to connect vendors to consumers directly, and that you'll be able to form that kind of relationship with local farmers and all sorts of vendors and artisans, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like it's a social marketplace that keeps you in your location so that when you search for tomatoes or soap or eggs, it will show you people in your area that have it. And then there's social features where you can message a vendor. The vendors can post onto their page. And if you have followers, then they'll get updated on your posts. And so in this way, it's built to connect people to not only each other, but vendors in particular, so that you can create a relationship with someone, not just see them once a week at the farmer's market if you happen to have time to get there.
Right. Well, that's the type of relationship that I think we're looking to foster here. So let's take a look at how this works. Again, this is obviously just the beginning of the bare bones of the website. It hasn't been built out fully yet, but let's see what kinds of things people will see if they go here. So it's asking either to search near me or for a postal code. So can you give me a postal code that will show people?
Yeah, do 15235.
All right, so if I type that in and click enter, and suddenly we have, for example, the Milwaukee Public Market. We have Reading Terminal Market, Boston Public Market, Sweet Pea Pastry, etc. So a bunch of vendors. And as you say, there's the follow button here, which yep. I assume once this is, again, fully built out, the vendors you'll be able to follow a specific vendor. And will that put you in touch with them directly, or they'll just be able to blast out things and you'll receive like a feed of what your favorite yep. vendors are putting out there?
Yeah, they'll be able to blast stuff out to you. And there will be a messaging feature that you could also message them. So if they had products or if you had questions, you could just message them also and develop that relationship. There's also another cool feature. We're doing an endorsement feature where vendors can endorse each other. To build trust. And, you know, if you have a vendor that has 10 endorsements, then it's just vendors kind of vouching for each other.
There needs to be some sort of reputational system here, I think, mm-hmm. because obviously, again, there are always people who will try to take advantage of systems like these and scam other people. So how do we get around that without bringing in the authorities and the police and all of that? Well, one way is the type of the reputational systems that have been built up in yep. places like this. So if we are we able to actually click into one of these yet? OK, so we click in and we get more from the description. And some operating hours, et cetera, right? Okay. So yep. again, it's pretty bare bones right now, but obviously this is just the beginning of the website. And yeah. So once it's fully built out, if you're in, for example, Milwaukee, you'll be able to search for Milwaukee and you'll see all the vendors in Milwaukee and the area, right? And you'll be able to set yep. sort of a search radius for how far.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right now, since we're still building more content on there and getting people onboarded, we have it set to 1,000 miles, which isn't very local, but that's just to show more. You can set it down to 500, 100, 25 miles, and eventually the default will probably be 100 miles to keep you looking at the people around you, because that's the whole point.
Right, exactly. Yep. And there is a community tab right now for local threads. Obviously, again, this is a brand new website. It hasn't been built out yet, so there's nothing here yet. But in the future, this will be used for posting like a forum kind of interaction, or how will this work?
Yeah, we have a little bit of a big vision. And so right now, vendors can make their profiles, they can put their products on. And we only have one payment method now, but we plan on doing multiple payment methods so that the vendor can choose which one they want. Right now it's Stripe. So vendors can put their products on, hook up Stripe, and people can purchase from them. And we are finishing up events too, which is a big part of it, where users can put on events on the page, and that will also show up in that discovery feed. And then the next part is working on this page here, which is the social interaction. There'll be a local discussions, so it'll keep you in your community, and so you can talk to the people actually around you. Same with groups. You'll be able to create groups. It will have a whole group management system. The groups will also be local. And the used and barter is kind of like a Craigslist where people can put up their washers and dryers they're getting rid of and stuff. The forums is one of the only things on the site that's not actually localized. We're trying to create a whole forums that's kind of just directed information towards whether that's farming or how to grow a small business, how to get involved with your community, with a voting system that you can like upvote, downvote, that kind of stuff. But it's supposed to be more focused on specific types of information that kind of have to do with the spirit of local market.
Well, it makes sense. And I see the vision of what you're going for. Again, obviously, it's the tough nut to crack of you need vendors, but the vendors aren't going to come if there's no customers there, but the customers mm-hmm. aren't going to come if there's no vendors there. So how do you get it going? Well, obviously, you have to get the word out there that this exists so that people will start using it. And obviously, I think the first incentive is to try to get vendors on board and signed up for this. So talk about that process and how you are networking and trying to meet people and trying to bring this about.
Yeah, I actually go around to a lot of fairs and festivals, and I just talk to vendors that are already there. It works out really great because they're already making the effort to set up their booth and they're trying to get customers. So when I tell them, hey, I'm trying to create an app that revolves around you to get you in front of more people, and they love the idea. And I'm also going to offer, like, for example, the first 100 vendors that sign up, they'll get free premium account till the end of the year. And everyone that signs up in the first year, they'll get like a little badge that says founding member. I'm going to do a 30-day free trial for stuff too. And there is a free account for vendors that they can do almost everything that a premium account can. Just limits how many products they can put on there. But there can still be a free account. And the main purpose is for either you don't sell stuff online, but you still want to find people, or you already have a website built out. You don't necessarily need local market, but I can hook your website up and just get people right to your website.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a win-win for people who are involved in this. And it's one of those things. It's the network effect. The more people who use it, the more useful it will be. So again, that is the nut to crack. But you mentioned your festivals and that you travel to and meeting people. I understand you have a particular story about the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually plays a big part into local market. Porcupine Freedom Festival is... it was a big camp out festival where a bunch of freedom minded people come together and hang out for a week. And I came last year and set up a booth, was talking to people about local market and what I'm doing. And there, was just this network effect where one person would introduce me to another. And then I got introduced to my partner, Steven, and we've been working together ever since. And we're both freedom-minded individuals, and we happened to meet by both going to a festival. And now it feels like, kind of the spirit of what you're talking about, like-minded people coming together. It feels like that's exactly how this has really come to be. Without my partner, we wouldn't be so far along, for sure.
Excellent. Well, that is good to hear. Meeting real people in real physical space and creating something of interest from that meeting. That's a wonderful thing to hear about. And I think that that is the vision that I'm excited about, that I like to promote. It's the technology that is in service of the real world physical connections that it can bring about. And I think that is the value we're looking for here. So again, the site is fairly self-explanatory at this point. We've just gone through and seen some of the features. But for people who are vendors who are interested, obviously, just people who are looking for markets in their local area can go and search. But for vendors in particular, how do they go about signing up?
Yeah, you just click that sign up there. You'll create an account, just like everyone, first off. And then at the end of the first section, it'll ask you if you're a vendor and if you want to sign up for a vendor. I did put a short little survey there just to make sure there's no misunderstandings of who can be a vendor and who can't, because that can sometimes get lost. And what we're really going for is producers, people that make things, farmers that grow things by hand, or craftsmen that make it by hand. That's it. It's not meant for people to just come on and sell anything willy-nilly. It's meant for people that create things. That's the very spirit of what we're trying to do, a digital farmers market.
In what kind of moderation then do you have for people signing up?
Yep, we are working on getting the reporting feature working. So, you know, I'm hoping to inspire all the users to go ahead and report anyone that seems fishy. And we'll be obviously checking around. We're gonna have a optional certification method where you can actually upload third-party certifications, whether that's like organic or naturally grown. Different certifications will allow us to kind of verify people in different ways. That's the reporting is what we're mainly relying on at the start.
Excellent. Well, it's an exciting idea. And obviously, again, we're just looking at the beginning of a very large project. And as you say, it's a very large vision. So it's going to take a lot of work to get there. But I hope people will at least be interested in checking out and poking around and seeing how things are at the moment, hopefully getting on board. And I'd like to see more people, more vendors, looking at ways like this to try to connect with customers who are like-minded, who actually might share some of their ideas and beliefs. And that, I think, is the way forward for humanity generally. So Daniel Andrews, thank you for working on this.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
There he goes, friends, Daniel Andrews. And if you are interested in local market and helping to build up the site while it is still in its early formative stages, you can, of course, go to localmarket.cc and you can sign up either as a customer, but more importantly, as a vendor. If you are an artisan, a craftsman, a local, you run a local market or something along those lines, and you want to get it listed there on localmarket.cc, you can sign up for a free account and get that information to the masses. And, or if you're a potential investor and you want to help grow this budding website and hopefully make it into a powerful tool for connecting people together, then there is opportunities to be a founding investor. So there is a fundraiser going on at gofundme.com right now. If you're interested in contributing to that, I'll throw it in the show notes. It's about how help local market grow communities. And it's Local Market is a social networking app that will unite consumers with local businesses to discover healthy, homemade, and organic products. We hope to foster community relationships and support artisans and craftsmen. As I say, it sounds like win-win all around. But actually, let's take a note from what Daniel just told us there about his experience actually meeting someone who ended up becoming an important business partner his endeavors through actually attending a conference of like-minded people coming together over a shared understanding of the world. It's not a remarkable new idea. It's not something radical, but it is an obvious way. If there is an event that you are capable of attending, it might be a good way to actually start meeting people. I've talked about this before in various contexts, but let's talk about something else since it is July of 2026 and we're coming up on Approaching Humanity. You might wonder, what is Approaching Humanity, James? Well, Approaching Humanity is just such a conference that is going to be taking place specifically in Arizona, even more specifically in Sedona, Arizona, on July 18th of this year. It's going to be an all-day event, and it is being hosted by good old friends of the Corbett Report, Larkin and Amanda Rose of theRoseChannel.com. So this is an interesting and unique idea that's not just going to, it's not just interested in preaching to the choir, but hopefully in some other aspect of this building community. Because, of course, building community doesn't just mean only finding people who believe exactly what you believe and check all the boxes on your list of beliefs and pass your special litmus test. No, it means hopefully being able to form community and bonds with people that you may disagree with on issues as well. And hopefully through shared understanding and shared commerce and conference, getting to know each other and perhaps changing their viewpoint on this or that issue. Maybe you'll change your viewpoint, and maybe that's the way we grow ourselves forward. And I think that is part of the animus and the spirit behind this idea of approaching humanity. So if you want more information about this, you can go to theRoseChannel.com/humanity. Or you can talk to Larkin and Amanda Rose. Larkin, Amanda, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us
nice
on.
Nice to be here.
All right. Excellent. Well, I am interested in approaching humanity. And as I say, people can go to the website for more information about it, where, for example, we learned that it is a full day event with Larkin and Amanda Rose exploring truth, freedom, and what it means to recognize the humanity in others. But we also learned that it's a live event in Sedona, which involves a new book from Larkin Rose. So it's a conference, it's a book launch, it's a celebration, it's approaching humanity. Tell us what this idea is all about.
Well, it goes along with the book in that they're both broken down into parts and they sort of match. The whole point of approaching humanity is, you know, you and your listeners and, you know, us and a lot of the people we know like to think about things and philosophize and delve into various issues and stuff. Most of humanity doesn't really like that. And so if we approach them expecting them to sort of be intellectually curious, it is very easy to get the impression that the world is full of idiots. And it may have a fair number of idiots in it, but for the most part, it's people just minding their business and they don't want to have to think about that stuff. And I can totally relate. Like, I don't particularly want to have to think about that stuff either. It'd be nice if it was all gone and we didn't have to.
Or they're under actual survival mode, unlike the privileged parts of the world that have the time and energy to think about these things.
Yeah. It's almost like that's by design that they keep us busy. But so the entire approach of approaching humanity is to basically make a message that's still thought-provoking and all that fun stuff for people who are already voluntarists or libertarian or whatever they want to call themselves, but that also resonates with all the normal people in the world and makes them able to start to think about things that, you know, of course they're never hearing in the mainstream, and they're never hearing from any political candidate, to sort of nudge them in a direction that most people have never thought about and immediately tend to get defensive if it's approached as if your beliefs are stupid and wrong, here's what you should believe. Like, yeah, people don't respond well to that. So
I don't think anybody
wants a better approach.
No. So as I say, this is a live all-day event that's taking place physically there in Sedona, specifically at the Sedona Performing Arts Center on July 18th. But what you're saying is this might be a good place not just to bring your friends who are all on board, but people who may be skeptical about this approach, right?
Absolutely. Bring your enemies.
Yeah. And maybe they just are completely new to really thinking about it. Maybe they're all the way in the box of, like, you know, they've been busy in their own world and their own bubble. And the idea that people are talking about this and talking this way can be brand new to them. That's okay for this event. We hope that it'll be very pleasant and friendly to that, and including fun. One thing that I think will be fun about this event is a lot of it differs from a lot of Liberty events that some of you might have been to in the past, where it's kind of a random sort of a hodgepodge of ideas and talks kind of just thrown into a mix, and there's just talking people going on all day long. And this is sort of meant to follow the story and the themes of Larkin's book in a sort of order and include sort of fun skits that go along with it. So it's like a talk, a talk or two, a skit that are shorter, a skit, some music that like may match or go along with it. Hopefully we're trying to get some other musicians, not just us, there to do this as well. And then, you know, breaks for time to just sort of chat, network, go to the bathroom, hang out, maybe check out vendors that are there.
Let so the it's steam supposed to be vent out your ears from the last thing you heard.
Yeah. So it's supposed to have like an actual order to it. And because he's written this book and it's new and it's doubling as a kind of party for that, we're following the timeline and sort of the themes of the book in an order. I think.
Yeah, let's not gloss over this. This involves a launch of an entirely new book from Larkin Rose. This is like headline stuff. Tell us about the book.
Well, it's The Most Dangerous Superstition is very much, here's just the philosophical breakdown, like you've already covered this on your show, of why authority is inherently and automatically bogus, and here's the damage it does when people believe in that. This has a fair amount of overlap in the general topic stuff, but it approaches it from talking to some random person, basically trying to relate to what they want and to what their values are. And too often the philosophical thing comes across as, here's what you're wrong about, instead of, well, what do you actually believe in? And people, well, we believe in peaceful coexistence and we believe in protecting the innocent. You know, people list all these good things. Nobody says, I believe in violently dominating my fellow man. The few people who do wouldn't say that out loud. And most people don't want that. And they don't get how they've been tricked into advocating stuff that doesn't match what they say they want. So if you come at it from the approach of like, what do you actually want humanity to be? Hopefully it's not what it is now, because it's kind of a mess right now. I mean, there's lots of good things about it, but if you find the part in the person that already understands peaceful coexistence, and so the book goes through the history of sort of the evolution of like what I call expanding empathy, where once upon a time, it's like, well, if you're not in my clan, we kill you and we take your stuff. And then at some point, people were like, maybe we shouldn't. Something in me kind of feels bad about doing that. And, you know, however and why ever that happened, slowly we've been expanding our empathy to the point where in our daily lives, most people already know how to get along as a general rule. But they've been taught there's this weird exception thing that these people, they don't even count as people. Like they have special rights and they have special powers. And to try to start with somebody relating to the goodness in them that already understands, like already recognizes, yeah, other people, you don't attack them and take their stuff. It's like, okay, do you ask anybody else to? No, of course not. Well, and then gently lead them up to the point where you start to introduce them to the fact that there are ways that your brain has been hijacked and used against you. It's not you're an evil person with crappy ideas. It's you're a well-intentioned person who kind of inherited some noise in your brain that doesn't really match who you are and what you really believe in. And maybe you should look at that, sort that out.
So like, I guess like a summarizing way to say it is, you know, the most dangerous superstition is like the logical blunt object of just like government is irrational and illegitimate. Here's why argument from all the angles. And then this book, which you're going with the title Approaching Humanity, or you're going with the title Unbound?
I'm changing the title of the book to Unbound.
He's changing it after we advertised it as Approaching Humanity. And he's like, nope, never mind. The event is called Approaching
Humanity. The
event's
still Approaching
Humanity. The book's going to be called Unbound because it's about unbinding ourselves and unbinding each other. But Unbound, the book, is more of, again, like you said, talking to the average person and then going over the story of humanity and kind of where we've been all the way up to where we are now. And the Approaching Humanity is the part that, when you really look at the timeline of human history, it's like we kind of are just starting to be human instead of animals. Like, and even in the first world, a lot of what, you know, people like to think, again, we're so civilized in the Western civilization and stuff. And it's like, well, except for the giant excuse that we have for this is why these badges and uniforms can do stuff that's kind of draconic and ancient and doesn't match all of the rest of what we say, like, do unto others as you would have done unto you. And then there's the part where there's this gray area where once we weren't just like blunt object people over the head, drag them off. Now it's like, well, I won't do that, but I won't entirely respect their autonomy in the form of like weird words I use to mentally manipulate them to like get them to buy what I want or do what I want or whatever. So we're in this like gray area where the best parts of the world are still evolving out of like, no, all the way respecting autonomy means actually considering what the other person would all the way want and not trying to pull them out of what they would want. And so
almost every major culture and religion has their version of like most state it in the negative, don't do unto others as you wouldn't have done unto you. But there's a million, like the live and let live, that's absolutely based on the concept of self-ownership, whether or not they phrase it that way. That even like, even love your enemies, even pray for them. Like even don't just like, well, I don't really like you, so I'm gonna beat you up and take your stuff. And so you can see this evolution, and we even like follow it through Rome and Greece and into the British Empire and then into the US Empire. But there's just been this giant convoluted hypocrisy of, yeah, we believe in individual rights, except for the people we own. Like, well, we'll deal with that. Like, why? But to follow the philosophical evolution in amongst this statist nonsense, and to see that we're almost to the starting line, not the finish line. We're nowhere near being done. We're almost to the starting line where we can actually call ourselves humanity.
And so it's safe to say that this is something like Candles in the Dark in book form, or The Mirror in book form, right? As in a tool that people can use to share with other people who may not have thought along these lines in order to get them to see what they already believe, right?
Yeah, and it's very much like, as much as you can do Candles in the Dark without the other person being there to answer questions, but it's supposed to resonate with the parts of them that already want to get along and already understand, like most people. In fact, hopefully this won't spoil it for anything. Early on in the book, I ask a few simple questions like, do you treat others the way you want to be treated? Do you treat others nonviolently? Do you like, if they're not attacking you? Almost everybody, if you ask them that, say, yeah, totally.
Right.
And then if you bring them to realize, what are you voting for when you vote? Is it to have that guy use the force of government to take your... And then it asks the same questions again, because I find a lot of people are suddenly like, oh, well, it didn't even occur to me to think of politics when you asked me the first time. Yeah, I know. That's kind of the problem, is it doesn't occur to people that this whole weird realm of reality, yeah, that's what you're doing too. That's still, if you're... Oh, I just voted for somebody else to beat up my neighbor and take his money. It doesn't even occur to people, like they don't think that they advocate violence against their neighbor.
Because that exception has been taught to them as this exception that just kind of goes with the flow of everything else in their minds.
Yeah, that's not people doing it. That's the mythical deity called government and law and stuff.
So authority that, you know.
So that doesn't count.
I also think it's funny that like, the thing that's causing a bunch of society's ills likes to take credit for a bunch of the good stuff that happens in spite of and would happen anyway and better without it. Like, we're the reason that civilization exists and that you have nice things and that there's order and roads. And it's like, are you though? Or are you piggybacking on the people that do know how to do those things and actually do them, and then just
who would build the roads?
The road builders would build the roads.
That's who.
How would we be educated if we weren't stealing from everyone and then funding child trafficking? How would that happen?
Yeah, so it's like having a 50-pound leech attached to you, and the leech keeps telling you, "You're so lucky that I'm here to give you life."
Pretty sure that's not
what's going on.
All right, so long story short, there is a new Larkin Rose book. It's going to be confusingly called Unbound, not Approaching Humanity, that is going to be launched at the Approaching Humanity conference. And every single attendee will get the book as part of their ticket fee,
Indeed. And they will be the first people to have their hands on it, because that is the first time anyone will have it at all.
Lucky sons of a gun. I wish I could be there. But let's talk about that. Who is going to be there, and who will be the speakers at this event?
Well, remotely, we got this guy named James Corbett. He had a pretty good excuse for not being there in person.
I guess being like 6,000 miles away, 6,000, whatever it is you are.
Pretty good excuses.
I can't believe you didn't hold it in Japan, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
I would love an excuse to go to Japan, by the way. I'm not putting that out there as never, but I know Larkin's like, I want to retire from events after this. So if we end up in Japan,
you guys could just vacation here. I'd be happy to invite you.
That would be super cool. So I'll probably forget somebody and offend them. Patrick Smith, who's hosted Anarchast and Disenthrall, will be there. Craig Hargis of Bad Roman Podcast. Mark Maresca of White Pillbox. Jason Basler of Free Thought Project and Police to Police.
I believe remotely, and Carrie Wedler's going to send in a recording of her of a thing. Ovens O'Brien, our friend, is going to send something in too and be there remotely. And then my friend Rebecca Anzini, who actually she was a part of a temporary, like a real attempt at like an intentional community here. I think she's going to do a brief kind of funny talk about like how not to start an intentional community because it didn't go very well. And there were problems with it and she understands
and
why
then
now.
And I think Derek Bros is going to, he's planning on sending a pre-recorded thing about how to actually.
Oh, and our friend Brittany, who is like a, she's started her own like homeschool co-op she does over in Florida. And she's been like a libertarian freedom person, like mom that just kind of built her own business outside the system and teaches kids and stuff. And she's going to do her own stuff and do skits with us. We're going to like all three of us will be doing some skits together.
So. And Sheriff David Hathaway,
active
duty sheriff in Arizona. I like to not say any more about that because I want people to go, you invited a sheriff to speak at your event.
He's not a you think. We'll put it that
way. He is an amazing character.
Yes.
He will be one of the highlights, definitely.
Yes.
I am intrigued. Very intrigued. What about for people who can't physically make it? Will there be a live stream?
We have something called The Rose Channel, therosechannel.com. Subscribers there, we are going to try to live stream it. We don't exactly know what their bandwidth is like and their internet access is at the place we're doing it.
It's a high school performing arts center.
Yeah. Just FYI. Although it's Sedona and they're rich enough to have this giant auditorium.
It's a big auditorium, but yeah.
So we're attempting a live stream for Rose Channel subscribers, but either way, the entire edited thing is going to be available for Rose Channel subscribers when it's all put together after the fact, whether or not we can do it live, but we're attempting to do it live too.
I will say something important for anybody listening. So if you have been a Rose Channel subscriber at therosechannel.com, which is $35 a month for a year, or you purchase what a year's worth would be, or you close in the gap of like by the event time you pay, you're like, okay, I haven't been a subscriber for a year, but I pay for the three more months ahead of time for the event. Basically, if you pay for an annual subscription that includes $35 times 12, you get into the event for free. So if you are already a subscriber and you have been for a year, or you pay for basically a year's worth by the time the event starts and you have paid for that,
yeah,
we will give you a free ticket.
And you get the book for free.
Yes.
Indeed.
And you get the book for free.
We also made a thing where speakers are allowed to bring a guest. So you're allowed to bring a guest despite the fact that you're 6,000 miles away.
I can bring the call.
They can sit next to yours.
Yeah.
If you know anyone in Sedona, tell them to go there. You can get them in.
I will. All right. Oh, excellent. So the place for people to go, I guess, therosechannel.com/humanity. Is that the best place?
Indeed. Yes. And for those who can't be in there in person, you can still pre-order the book. They won't ship until after July 18th. But that's therosechannel.com/humanity book.
Yep. We've got quite a few pre-orders already. People are super excited about a new book from Larkin.
As they should be.
Yeehaw.
All right. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it. As we say, I'm going to be one of the speakers there. I wish I could be there in person, but at any rate, I will be there telephonically. I don't think we say that anymore. Televisually. And I am looking forward to it. So thank you for the opportunity, Larkin and Amanda. And let's see if we can bring some people together, like-minded and maybe even not like-minded people together in a physical space. Imagine that. Larkin, Amanda, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, friends, once again, Larkin and Amanda Rose, and you can find out more about the Approaching Humanity event in particular, including my speech there, as well as the Unbound book, which will be launched there at therosechannel.com/humanity. Of course, the link to that, as well as localmarket.cc and everything else that I've talked about today, will be in the show notes at corbettreport.com. But I think I do not need to belabor the point. If you are interested in forming community, well, there are many ways to do it, but all of them involve going out there and putting yourself out there in various ways, whether that is either signing up to something like Local Market or going to a conference or maybe something else. And maybe these particular ideas that we've looked at today do not work or do not apply for you in your particular situation, but maybe something else will. And I'm going to continue exploring those various options. So if you have a different idea of ways that people can meet like-minded people and or recruit other people into your community, by all means, I'm all interested to hear about it. So Corbett Report members are invited to log into corbettreport.com and to leave your ideas in the comments below. But as I have talked about recently, for example, in last week talking to Dan Dix of Press for Truth, and he made the very important point that the good news that we're looking for certainly isn't going to come out of the news feeds following the latest legislation passing through Parliament or Congress. It is going to come from the little acts of community and cooperation that we are taking every single day to bring people together, preferably in the real world, in real space, to work together to solve the problems that we face. And I think that that is the way forward. If you are in agreement, join the community. And as, may I just say, perhaps one particular way of finding the people in your tribe, in your neighborhood, might be to have a Corbett Report hat or a Media Monarchy shirt or something along those lines on, and you might be surprised on the people who will notice and might comment on that. So, of course, such paraphernalia can be acquired from newworldnextweek.com. And otherwise, of course, you can also meet people online in the Corbett Report comments, but I'll leave that there for today. As I say, this is a recurring topic on Solutions Watch and undoubtedly one that we'll be coming back to time and again in various iterations over the years, but I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. We're going to leave it here for today. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Looking forward to talking to you again in the near future. The Corbett Report is 100% listener supported. Join the Corbett Report community to become a member and log into CorbettReport.com to read the subscriber newsletter, featuring my weekly editorial, recommended reading and viewing, discounts on Corbett Report merchandise, and once a month, a subscriber-exclusive video. Sign up today at CorbettReport.com/members and help support this independent media.